Well, good morning, church. It's good to be with you. As we shift gears toward the message, let's, as we always do, just turn our hearts to God in prayer, okay? Let's pray together. Living God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we come to you, we bow to you, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you are and how it leads us today to turn our heart toward you, to bow to you, God, in the midst of all the things going on in our lives, in the lives of others around us, in our world. You are our rescuing God. You are our saving God. You are the constant one. You are our hope in this life and beyond. Oh God, we ask in your mercy and grace that you would open our hearts to hear and receive your word again today or like never before, Lord. I ask that in this space, in this time, we would not just lean in to me, but to you, God. You would open us. We confess together we need to hear your voice. We long to hear your voice. So in your mercy and grace, God, would you give us ears to hear your voice today, and would you speak to us, among us, God, that your word would give us life today, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and grace today. We look to you, God. Amen. All right, well, as some of you know, we're starting a new series today. We always take September to kind of get ourselves settled, re-engage, talk about some core things. And then as we step into October, we lean into the fall direction. And as I come to a season like this, I find myself coming back to what I often come back to, which is a suggestion that a friend gave me years ago. He said that too often we try to tackle too many things all at once. I'm sure that's true in a lot of settings, organizations. It's definitely true in the church. I know I've felt this as I've looked towards this fall, as I've prayed over the last season and considered what does God want for us this fall, 2020, in the midst of all that's going on in our world. And I've found my mind running over this last season to so many portions of scripture that seem to speak a relevant, powerful word to us. I found myself running to thinking about all the different realities in our world and lives these days that need addressing, that need a word from God, a life-giving, reorienting, hope-filled word. And if I'm honest, again and again, over the spring and summer, I found myself overwhelmed with the breadth of realities that needed a word from God in this season, which led me back to my friend's counsel or remark that we often try to tackle too many things at once. And then with that, the suggestion, what if we stop thinking so grandly, trying to do a million things or address a million things at once, and instead just sought to aim for one thing in the season, one simple but significant thing, and maybe even one thing that in some way would reach out and touch the many without having to address all of the many. And more, the one thing that stirred deep for me as I sought to hear and discern God's voice, God's leading for us for this fall, was exactly that. That we would spend this fall exploring together what it means to truly hear God's voice. That we would explore together the reality, the grace of a God who speaks, and the invitation to be women and men, followers of Jesus, who truly listen and hear and follow God's voice. Because like prayer, hearing God's voice is one of the most foundational practices in the Christian life, one of the most foundational practices to life with God, maybe even the most foundational. I mean, honestly, how can anyone truly know and follow God without hearing God's voice? And yet amidst our knowing that hearing God's voice is central and essential to life with God, it is something we rarely talk about. despite the fact that this is something that many Christians, many of us, wrestle to make sense of in our own lives and the lives of others. And this wrestling is all the more pronounced because hearing God's voice is something most of us long for deeply, don't we? As Gordon Smith, one of my theology professors in grad school, said in class one day, he said, to know and hear the voice of Jesus is one of the greatest hungers of our lives. I think that's true. Whether young or old, that is one of the greatest hungers of our lives. He says in his book, The Voice of Jesus, I commend the book to anyone who wants to read it, Gordon Smith, The Voice of Jesus, he says, in our late teen and early adult years, we yearn to know Jesus' voice because we are making critical life choices. In midlife, the issues are no less demanding as we seek to know that we are not alone, that Jesus is there for us. And in our twilight years, the longing to know the voice of Jesus is, if anything, even more pronounced, for then we need to hear the voice of comfort, the voice of courage, the voice assuring us that indeed we know God and God knows us. Thus, one of the deepest desires we have as Christians is to know the voice of Jesus. And yet, if we're honest, most of us struggle profoundly with this. We struggle to hear God's voice in our everyday lives and in our critical decisions. We struggle to listen well. We struggle to recognize and make sense of God's voice in our lives. And we struggle to make sense of God's voice in the lives of others. When others say that God is saying something to them, how do they know, right? We think. How do they know they're hearing God and not just what they want to hear? Not long ago, I had a conversation that I feel like I've had so many times over the years. I sat on a bench down at Dallas Road with a wholehearted Christian, and we talked honestly about their journey of life with God, the ups and downs, the different seasons. And then at some point, they shared about a dramatic shift, a reversal, a development in their thinking, something they now think so differently about than they had in the past. And to assure me that they weren't flippant about it, they explained that at a crucial moment, at that crucial moment, they sensed God speaking to them, inviting them to this new understanding or to let go of a long-held conviction, often with a sense of liberation. And I'll be honest, sometimes these conversations on a bench at Dallas Road are such an encouragement to my soul to hear how a friend, a brother or sister in Christ, many years older than me, sometimes younger than me, to hear God, how they've heard God's living voice and followed God in faith in beautiful and costly ways. But sometimes those conversations on that bench are not so encouraging to hear how a friend, a brother or sister in Christ, whether younger or older, has heard and followed a voice that doesn't seem to align with the way and the truth and the life of Jesus. And yet they claim that it was God's voice that led them or is leading them. So what does it mean? What does it mean for us to hear God's voice? What does it mean to hear God's voice? And how do we recognize or discern that it is God's voice that is speaking and not just what we want to hear from God or expect to hear? Thankfully, it's not always so weighty, right? I remember being in a Christian bookstore near Vancouver about 20 years ago, helping a woman find the right kind of Bible. I didn't work at the store. I just knew some things about Bible translations. And after a few minutes of helping her, she asked me what I did, and I said I was a student at Regent College. She asked me what that was, and I explained that it was a Christian graduate school, a theological school in Vancouver. And all of a sudden, her face lit up with a look of wonder, and she says to me in all seriousness, "Oh, my goodness, I was just in Seattle, and I stayed at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, and here I am now talking to you, and you go to Regent College. I think God is telling me I'm supposed to go to Regent College." And I remember looking at her in that moment thinking, are you serious? Not that God doesn't at times lead us through circumstances and signs. Sometimes he does. But in that moment, I found her discernment rather sketchy. I know she felt in that moment that she was hearing God's voice, but I wasn't so sure. And honestly, I commend her for seeking to be attentive and responsive to God's voice in her life. Because many people, many Christians, many of us never even think to consider what God is saying or wants to say or how God wants to lead us in the everyday, ordinary, and significant decisions and goings-ons of our life, much less our intent on following God's leading if we were to hear it. But still, as that moment in the bookstore highlights, hearing God's voice can seem like one of the most elusive experiences and practices in the Christian life. Would you agree? It's something we often refer to or hear others refer to, kind of depending on the circles that you run in. And yet at the same time, it's something we rarely honestly, openly talk about in the sense of exploring honestly together how we hear God's voice, how we have come to recognize God's voice and leading in our life. It's just one of those assumed things in the Christian community. One of those things that you're just supposed to get. And so either you get it or you don't. Now, most Christians, most of us, I suspect, have never had any real teaching or discipling on the matter, unless maybe you went to YWAM or spent a season in a vineyard or charismatic church. But even there, sometimes it's just assumed. And so consequently, some Christians, by the grace of God, have learned to hear God's voice and learn how to discern that it is, in fact, God's voice. But many others live with a deep sense of inadequacy, convinced that unlike others, God doesn't speak to them. Or if he does, they have no idea how to recognize it. And let's be honest, many of us are convinced that is describing us. And then there are others who have great confidence in their ability to hear God's voice, as my friend in the bookstore did, but reveal a considerable lack of wisdom for discerning between God's voice and what they simply want to do or what want God to say or to say to them or to others. I remember years ago, a young woman in my church, it's back in my university days, I think, and she was utterly convinced that God had told her that she was going to marry a particular guy in our church. They started dating, and she shared this with him and with all of us. Imagine the pressure that put on them to make things work, and the guilt and confusion, disillusionment, when it didn't. Years later, now, they are both happily married to other people, and I'm pretty confident she is now aware that she had misheard God in that moment. All that to say, not everyone who says that they hear God's voice is actually hearing God's voice, right? Sometimes we just hear what we want to hear, or maybe what we expect to hear. And then there are others who simply believe that hearing God's voice is not something for today, not something Christians should expect in our day, because God doesn't speak anymore, not in a living, not in a personal way. From their perspective, God has nothing more to say. Everything God needed to say, he has already said, and it's recorded for us in the Bible. We shouldn't expect to hear God's voice today in a personal, living way. We should all just read our Bibles and be thankful for that. But then we do that. We open our Bibles. We read with our hearts open to God, or we hear scripture taught. And what do we discover but a God who speaks? Again and again, the God we encounter in the pages of the Bible is a God who speaks. As J.I. Packer, one of the great theologians of the last half century, sadly passed away this year, famously taught, the core of the Bible is its story of God speaking to humanity. Let me say that again. The core of the Bible is its story of God speaking to humanity. The Bible is fundamentally the record of a God who speaks. Take out God's speech and all that happens as a result of God speaking, and you have nothing left. The Bible is fundamentally the record of a God who speaks. As many have taught, Christianity is fundamentally, essentially, a revealed religion. We only know God because God has revealed himself to us, and his primary means of revelation is speaking. And it always has been, and it always will be. This is the nature of God, to speak. The God revealed in the Bible is a God who speaks. So let me ask you simply, do you know God's voice? Do you know God's voice? Do I? Do we? In Genesis 1, we're told that God spoke creation into being. As Psalm 33, verse 6 and 9 affirm, by the word of the Lord, Yahweh, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. And all of science is but an attempt to explain the processes that were unleashed because God spoke the world into being. But not only that, but by his word, God sustains all of creation. Hebrews 1, verse 3, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And not only does God's voice create and sustain all of creation, bring order out of chaos, but it is through his word, through his speaking, that God reveals himself to us, which isn't just some theological concept. This is the simple reality, the mysterious yet simple reality of how it happens every time. This is how Abraham in Genesis 12 came to know God. In Genesis 12, we read these startling words, the Lord Yahweh said to Abram. And then again and again, these words, these startling words become the familiar words that shape the biblical narrative. And God said, and the Lord Yahweh said to Adam, to Eve, to Abraham, to Sarah, to Hagar, to Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Deborah, Isaiah, Peter, James, John, and then to the church in the book of Acts. Acts 15, Acts 13, in Revelation, again and again, let those who have ears, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. The God we encounter in the pages of the Bible is a God who speaks, a God who speaks to people, to women and men like you and me. And he still does, just as Jesus said that he would. In the upper room, John 14 and following, Jesus told his disciples that he would leave, that he would be going to the Father, returning to the Father, but he would not leave them orphans, us orphans, but he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them and in them, who would continue to teach them, us, I'll say us, and guide us and speak to us in the name of Jesus. And he did and does. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all the followers of Jesus. And then as the story continues, we read again and again about how God spoke to the early church by the Spirit and they knew it. Take, for example, Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to the church, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And they heard God's voice and they did it. They set apart Barnabas and Saul. And the gospel spread because the God of the gospel is a God who speaks, who makes himself known through speaking. And those who follow Jesus today hear his voice. That's where all this needs to point us today. If you have a Bible, open it with me to John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It's a few other verses as well. John chapter 10. Because above all, it's what Jesus says here in the 10th chapter of John's gospel that we need to hear today as we enter into this fall study. Speaking of himself as the shepherd and his followers as the sheep, Jesus says, John 10 verses 3 and 4, start in the middle of that verse. I'll start at the beginning. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? He says that his sheep, his disciples, those who are in him, Christians, those who are called by his name, know and hear and follow Jesus' voice. And then just a few verses later, verse 8, and then verse 27, we hear these words. John 10, verse 8, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? He says that his sheep know and hear and follow his voice. Now, I'll be honest, part of me, whenever I come to this text, responds with this, do I know God's voice? Do I hear God's voice, Jesus' voice? Do I follow Jesus' voice? Do you? And if I'm honest, often the answer has had to be not much, not as much as I'd like, not as much as I need to. These verses always come as something of an awakening, a bit of a push, a rebuke to me. They always stop me in my tracks. And yet with that, they always stir me with a longing and a fresh awareness of my need to hear the voice of Jesus and the incredible, gracious invitation of God to listen. Because God is speaking. And that invitation leads me again to pray. Oh God, oh Jesus, teach me to know your voice. Oh Jesus, teach me to hear your voice. Jesus, teach me to follow your voice. Jesus, teach me to listen. I wonder if you have that response today with me. Because it's impossible, according to Jesus, it is impossible to follow Jesus, to be Jesus' disciples today and in every day unless we hear his voice. Which isn't to say that unless you can say today that you know God's voice and you can explain to me what God's voice sounds like in your life, and you are not a follower of Jesus. Because the reality is, whether you know it or not, if you are following Jesus today, you have heard Jesus' voice. You have heard God's voice. And I say that not just to flatter you. I say that because none of us would be seeking Jesus today. You would not be seeking Jesus, hungry for him and his will and his work in your life, if you hadn't at some point heard God's voice, the voice of Jesus calling you to himself. Every follower of Jesus has heard God's voice. But with that, let it be said, the call of Jesus, the voice of God to us, doesn't stop once we have been converted. As Jesus himself says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Which means, and this should be incredibly obvious, but let's be honest, often we miss it. If we want to know and hear and follow Jesus, we need to listen. We need to learn and choose to listen. which shouldn't surprise us, because being a Christian is not essentially about just adopting a faith system or moral reform, though following Jesus will radically reshape our understanding of reality and how we live our lives. But at the heart of it all, being a Christian is all about knowing and experiencing life with God in Christ, entering into, by the grace of God, by the grace of the gospel, entering into a living, interactive, everyday relationship with God through Christ by the Spirit. And every relationship requires listening, right? And I'm tempted to say, right, brothers, sisters, all of us, right? This is the case in any and every relationship, is it not? If we want to truly know and enjoy life with anyone, we need to pay attention to them. We need to consciously listen to them in the midst of things and then in specific focus times of listening. Real intimacy, deep friendship are both impossible without true and attentive listening. Honestly, if I want to grow in my relationship with my wife, with Janet, if I want to know her and enjoy life with her, I need to listen to her. To listen to her as we go about life together, and then also to carve out focus times to listen for what can't be shared on the fly, right? Because there's some things you can't say in the midst of dinner with the kids or in the midst of the demands of what's dominating your day or getting those groceries or whatever it is. I need to listen to her in the midst of life and also in focus times to listen for what can't be shared on the fly. No amount of buying flowers or providing for her could ever make up for a lack of listening, though I'm sure maybe buying flowers could help. Yes? Hence, Janet, there's some flowers in the other room for you today. But even with that, I won't even know what flowers she likes or doesn't like, i.e. carnations, if I don't listen to her and pay attention to her, right? It's the same with our relationship with God, our life with God. If we want to know God, to know Jesus and enjoy and experience and enjoy life with him, if we want to know and hear and follow Jesus' voice, we need to choose to listen. And not just once or even once a week, but as the new pattern of our lives as followers of Jesus. We need to learn to and embrace a listening posture before God in all things, in all times and places and activities, as we go about our day, as we read the Bible on our own, as we listen to others teach it, as we spend time with others, whether they know Jesus or don't, as we reflect on the events of our day, as we simply sit alone with Jesus. Because as A.W. Tozer, a beloved Christian pastor and writer from a previous generation, famously said, God speaks to those who listen. I wonder how those words register for you. God speaks to those who listen. Which is both a matter of simple receptivity, a humble heart turned towards God, but with that also something of a learned skill, a heart to listen, and an understanding of how God speaks, how to discern that it is God speaking, which is exactly why and what we are going to spend the coming season on, what we're going to explore together over the next 7 or 8 weeks, we'll see. The reality of a God who speaks and the invitation to listen and listen well for his voice, that we might be women and men who truly hear God's voice, listening to the God, our God who speaks. But I want to be clear this morning. We need to be clear at the outset that unless we intend to listen, unless we choose to listen, to be women and men who listen for God's voice and actually do it, no amount of understanding or wisdom for discernment will be any benefit to us. We could read all the books on hearing God's voice, and I'm happy to commend some to you. We could take notes every Sunday as we work through this series, but we will only know and hear Jesus' voice if we choose to listen. And so that is the question that we need to hear today, that I need to ask of you and of myself as we enter into this fall focus. Are you listening? Are you someone who listens for and to God's voice? And with that, maybe more importantly, will you? Will you listen? Will we listen? Will we learn to listen? And I suspect as I say this, I am touching a longing for many of you. And I say that partly because this has been my experience in moments where I've had opportunity to engage in this conversation with someone else, maybe even back in grad school, an opportunity to take a class with Gordon Smith, theology professor at Regent College, on discerning God's voice. I found myself so thankful to be stepping into this conversation, so thankful to be in an environment where we could talk openly about a God who speaks and what it means to hear his voice, and the tensions and challenges we experience of not listening, learning how to listen, the struggle of God's silence, the struggle when God says something that's not really what we want to hear. How do we trust the God who speaks? There's so much here. And I know for myself, in these moments where I have stepped into a conversation, I have found myself so thankful that we're talking about this. Because I know for me, it has touched a deep longing in my soul, one that I think we all share, a longing to hear God's voice, which makes sense because this is what God made us for, right? In the garden, we see Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the day, engaged in a living, interactive relationship. But here's the incredible thing that I want to end with today. And it's this, that this longing that many of us feel today and many other days, this longing isn't just ours today. It is God's longing. We long to hear God's voice because God has made us to hear his voice. And through the gospel, he has reconciled us to him. He has offered to bridge the divide that has separated us from God, turned our hearts away in rebellion. And through the gospel, through the work of Christ, through the presence and activity of the Spirit, we are being restored, have been restored to relationship with God, and are being restored within, that our hearts would turn again, our ears would be toward God, and we would hear the voice of God as we listen to God's word in scripture and above all in Jesus. Today, we come into this with hope, I think. We can come with hope, with confident hope, that it's not just us that longs to grow and learn to hear God's voice, but it's God who longs for us to hear his voice, which means it is his desire. It is God's desire to teach us as we come and bow before him together. So that's where we're gonna go this fall. I hope that stirs you. An invitation to learn about our God who speaks and what it means to listen, how we can hear God's voice, how can we can recognize and discern God's voice personally and together, and how we live in seasons of silence too, how we are commit ourselves to being people who listen. And as we enter into this, I want to simply invite us to join together in two simple prayers, to take these as our prayer in this moment and the coming days and weeks and maybe for a lifetime. I feel like I write these prayers into my journal, which is really my prayer journal, all the time. And they're this: one, Lord, teach us to listen. Right? In the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 6, in Luke chapter 12, we hear the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's a prayer we all need to learn to pray, to look to Jesus, to teach us to pray. But this too is a prayer that scripture calls us to, that life with God calls us to. Lord, teach us to listen. Lord, teach me to listen. And then with that, in the next breath, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm sure with me, you get the sense that that second prayer doesn't make sense unless we pray the first. Lord, teach us to listen. And then speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'm excited to step into this with you this fall, honestly. As I look into this season, I feel this deep prayer, longing, and joy to think that in these days we could together lean in and grow as a people who listen to God. Because honestly, when God's people listen to God, so much can happen. So let's pray. Let's invite you, take a moment of stillness, invite you to speak to God what it is you need to say in this moment, in the light of what we have heard by God's grace today, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Lord God, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, today is Thanksgiving and we have much for which to be thankful, and even in this moment, for the ways that in this moment you have already spoken to us. God, I thank you for the grace that as a church we have been invited into a practice of listening to for and to your voice week after week as a church. We've built this rhythm of listening, this practice of listening into our shared life. And we confess, God, how often as we step into the other 6 days, how often our heart is not turned toward listening. Maybe we long to hear your voice, but our longing for other things causes us not to be a people who listen. And we ask today in a fresh way, Lord, we ask, would you take our hands and lead us on this path toward being people whose hearts hunger for your voice, Lord, that we would know with great hope and confidence that it is your word that speaks order out of chaos. It's your word that brings into being what was not. It is your word that can raise the dead, including the dead in us. And so we ask, God, Jesus, Lord, teach us to listen. Open our hearts to one another, God, to listen to one another, to learn, to not think, believe a lie, that we need to go about this just on our own, but that we are invited to be a community, learning together to listen. Give us good questions. Help us to listen to one another, and in it to listen for your voice, God, to learn together to be a people who listen. And as we do, oh God, in your mercy, as you have today, all the more, oh Lord, would you speak? Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Would you open our ears to hear your voice, and would you speak into the noise of our world? Would you speak to us that we might be led to life in you, God? Thank you that you are here with us in this moment, that we are not dependent on a particular hour, a particular building, but we come with hope and thankfulness that you are with us right now, right here, in this place. We bow to you, God. Amen.